See whether I could stop. Just stop. For a few days. So that all this heedless thinking and worry. And perhaps after that I won't be heedless anymore. I will be more calm and peaceful, because by then I would be able to know the big difference between heedless living and heedful living. Turn out to be easy, but mental chattering is not easy to relinquish. Initially, mindfulness meditation was not easy either, but somehow, after the first day, it started to set in and later on stabilized very quickly. It's just like a new way of feeling life with heedfulness most of the time. Instead of being totally heedless throughout the day, the five mental hindrances that hinder my mind from becoming peaceful and calm has been replaced by the corresponding five spiritual powers, which are so wonderful. The spiritual faculty, especially Sadhavirya and Sati, which is spiritual zeal and mindfulness, had enabled me to develop the composed and clear mind so easily, leading to my ability to understand the Buddha Dharma so much more easily and faster now. Then there is this topic, understanding what is true mindfulness. is opposed to the thought-based meditation. This is the awareness or mindfulness-based meditation that can lead to seeing things as they are without the interference of thought, to awaken or insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, namely impermanent, sovereign state and origin, or in Pali is called anicchang, dukkhang and anatta. At first I thought that noting of mental phenomena and intention that I used to do at other retreats was mindfulness. I was doing it without understanding what mindfulness actually is that. After listening attentively to gratitude and reading through its rather clear and simple Dhamma notes given to us, I was able to understand what mindfulness of the tea is. Then I was able to cultivate with understanding, confidence, and ease. It is just the silent mind with inner awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought, and that is ease. To be in a relaxed state of silent inner awareness to experience the moment without any reaction of movement of mind or thought is true sati. You can only do one thing at a time. So you have to understand that when you are not silent, mental, then you are in sati. Otherwise, you are heedlessly lost in thought, preoccupied with all the thinking and reaction of mind without any inner awareness at all. Hit for this or apamada means to use the silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, to develop the wisdom via the direct seeing, to insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanent, selfish state, and non-self. So that explains what the key is. Then now understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The meditation as taught by the Buddha is twofold. First, just to train the mind to be heedful, following Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23. Then to use it to cultivate the three learnings of the Four Noble Truths, especially the Noble Eightfold Path as stated by the Buddha in his fourth Noble Truth, leading to the cessation of all suffering or enlightenment. So any meditation that does not lead the cultivator back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. As clearly pointed out by Brother Zero, this three turning of the Four Noble Truths were so clearly emphasized by the Buddha in his first sermon under the Dhammacakkappavattana to the five ascetic there, that even he himself as a bodhisattva to be had to understand this possible truth in this three turning and 12 aspects of mind. Otherwise he cannot consider to be the fully enlightened. The three turnings can give rise to three types of corresponding wisdom called Suttamaya Panya, Cittamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. The first type of wisdom, which is Suttamaya Panya, arrives after hearing the Sutta, which is the discourse of the Buddha. Whereas the second type of wisdom can only arise after attentive and creative contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhamma. Only after Buddha gives very detailed explanation of what is the discerning wisdom is, do I understand the importance of Dhamma contemplation and investigation to arise the Cittamaya Panya. The third learning is all about meditation of Bhavana leading to the awakening. The second turning wisdom is the most important because it can lead to awakening too. If the cultivator's path, cultivation is already established, otherwise it will prepare the very stable place for them to receive labor flow from any of the three aspects. Later on, Dharma contemplation is best done in a retreat or a way place that is very quiet with a lot of tranquil setting. With a lot of very conducive supportive conditions for Dharma contemplation and wisdom to allow. Just like this Mahayana temple, where the surrounding nature, the flora, the energy are so conducive for Dharma contemplation. One just has to be in a natural state of relax. Also, one just has to be in a natural relaxed state of mind to do this Dharma contemplation and investigation while standing or walking or sitting in the open or within the vicinity of the temple presence. When we silence our mind to reflect and contemplate on the beautiful nature within the temple and its surroundings, we will be able to perceive the great stillness energy of nature, of the nature there within our heart. We will also be aware of all the flow of nature, like the swing of the leaves and branches, of the forestry, the breeze, the beautiful cool and breezy weather, the beautiful cloud formation, the chirping of the birds, and the beautiful insects and nature's vibration. The beautiful sight and sound of all the colonial buildings, gate trees, temple chanting, vibration of temple's bell, moving cars and forest trains. When we are silent, it is like our being is one with everything. When we are silent, it's like our need has taken all in. Our hearts lie open up to embrace them all as one, as the great oneness in pure spacious awareness that is not caught in thought anymore, not thinking anymore. Then we can radiate love, loving kindness and metta and compassion to all them, and share and transfer marriage to them. As we do this contemplation more and more, everything we come to be aware of suddenly, life becomes very clear to us. And the arising Dhamma will enable us to develop the wisdom born of Dhamma contemplation. We can perceive the phenomenal world so clearly and understand its condition arising from, leading to the penetrative insight and understanding of the Buddha's teaching on Anicca, Dukkha, and Ananda, which are the three characteristics of nature, which are impermanent, suffering, and not. There is so much joy because the realization keep on arising. Even the dead tree became so beautiful and so clean with its pristine beauty, stillness, and wondrous beauty. Contemplation on death, on Ananda, like so easy. There is only love and no negative. The mind always at ease and peaceful. Mind is so relaxed, creative, silent, clear, and peaceful within. We can also see our own physical and nature's flow as we contemplate and move gracefully around in a very relaxed and natural way, like the blinking of our arms, the turning of our hands, our bending, stretching, etc. Mind and body as one, always in harmony and perfect synchrony. And our mental movement of flow, like every moment of perception, every moment of feeling, every moment of activity of mind or sangha, and mental intention, our mental reaction, our thinking, our days were scheduled from 5:45 a.m. to 9:58 p.m. with sitting and walking, meditation, chanting, bowing, to strengthen our spiritual powers. Then contemplative meditation to arise the second turning, contemplative wisdom. Meditation reporting, Dhamma sharing, to arise. Sorry, Dhamma sharing followed by Q&A, followed by a sustained continuum flow of daily mindfulness. We are having a very good religious retreat. A lot of very important essential Dhamma notes given to us were also discussed and clearly explained to us by Brazil to enhance our Dhamma understanding. Then getting started. Yogi normally arrives at retreat place exhausted and burnt out, especially during the first day of sitting. They start feeling sleepy and useful. Their mind just cannot be mindful anymore, and there are a lot of random thoughts, and mind is just restless most of the time. But the retreat activity and training really helps, and yogi usually leaves the retreat feeling buoyant, light, happy, and much more relaxed, calm, and peaceful. There is brightness in their eyes, and much more clarity in their mind. Their body too is more relaxed, upright, and fresh. When I checked in, I was assigned to a dormitory with double deck bed. I zeroed in to look for a nice bed and was happy to note that the toilet facilities with the hot water system was hotel-like and good. But then I remember, I'm here on a retreat to cultivate simplicity and silence of the mind. I felt apprehensive, I missed my cure, but I didn't miss my black bag, the smartphone. Walking outside, a few minutes after dinner, my anxiety was calmed by the great beauty and rather conducive still environment that this temple was offering. The beautiful nature and natural setting surrounding the temple too was amazing. Meals were vegetarian, simple but healthy, fresh and delicious. We learned to move around, gather and eat mindfully. One of the few sounds that we heard was deafening her clinking of utensils, hitting the bed. I especially appreciate the silence at this time. No pressure to chat about hometown, job, family, and retreat. After dinner, we had puja and chanting, followed by dhamma talk and meditation. While most yogi was silent most of the time to cultivate a noble silence, some were not noble silent. Noble silence can only be appreciated when one has developed it well. We started our first formal sitting meditation with instructions to understand what is meditation and what we are doing in the name of meditation. Radio explained to us clearly why we yoga, who has yet to train our mind, are so tedious. Most of the time, due to the presence of the five mental influences, and he teaches how to develop the opposite five spiritual modalities to counter them. We are cultivating our faith, diligence, and how to reverse our heedless thinking via the mind sweeping method to feel and relax your body, and the use of metta to lighten up your mind. This is followed by the cultivation of anapanasati to stabilize our sati of mindfulness. We are anchoring it to our breathing, which is always with us and it in the moment. Just relax and be aware at the nostril area to feel the breathing. To attend only to our breathing. If sati is absent, if the mind wanders off, just patiently returning to the breathing without any reaction or judgment or unhappiness. One of many easier said than done instructions. But according to Virtue, if one is patient enough, it is easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. After all, we came here to train our heedless mind. I went to sleep the first night tired, uncertain, but like many other nights, I had a good sleep. This part is about settling down and sinking into the meditation frame. There are signposts everywhere to preempt questions and remind us to be more mindful, aware and considerate. There are signs in the bathroom area about turning off light. Be mindful to maintain noble silence and cleanliness of the place, and taking out from the trash. There are also signs in the kitchen about how to eat and move around mindfully and clean up, closing door quietly, handphone to silent mode, or in the meditation or tomorrow, etc. We woke up at 5:45 and got ready for morning chanting. Follow my formal meditation. Then we had our breakfast. After breakfast, we had our chanting and reflection, followed by formal group meditation. After that, we had our meditation reporting time, question and answer session, followed by Dhamma sharing. During this session, I learned and developed a lot of understanding from the group. We maintain noble silence most of the time to cultivate the daily mindfulness and Dhamma contemplation during our weekly meetings. Also, the collective energies of the group sitting and cultivating together over a sustained period really help improve, motivate and show up each individual's effort and ability to meditate. We meditated on cushion format or straight back chairs. Each person customized his or her form with cushion or with the kneeling platform. Cross-legged was the predominant posture. The first day I looked around and copied other postures to find out which is right for me. But no matter how I settled in, at some point I was itching to move. Was I the only one who would not sit with ease? The silence was intimidating. What if I cough or sneeze? Just scratching my arm sounds like scratching cat. By the second full day, I was more settled. I was more calm and mindful, and my sitting meditation improved. At the beginning of the retreat, I was longing for the bell to ring here in the form of sitting meditation. But towards the end of the retreat, there was sitting at which I looked forward for it to be longer, and the ringing of the bell was like a little bit too fast. 1 hour of formal awareness meditation was like very fast now. Then regarding walking meditation, the advice by Virgil for walking meditation was really good, and he always emphasized that we should just walk naturally in a relaxed state of awareness, always at ease but aware within. The walking can be slow or fast up to the individual, and the main intention is to slow down the mind and not the bodily movement by anchoring this mind to the tire so that it is always silent and within the moment. when you can walk in a very natural and relaxed way, following the normal day-to-day speed and routine, until you can be aware of your breathing, body and mind moving as one, then you would have progressed quite well. It is like your city has stabilized to make you become more and more mindful and natural. It is like training yourself to master the Tai Chi or yoga movement and mindfulness. The slowing down will happen on its own, and your movement will be like a continuous flow and very graceful. Then you will be able to be aware and mindful of all the actions, movement and activity within your body, your physical form, internally and externally. You will come to be aware of the birth and death of every system, followed by its arising, sustaining and passing away of the whole self, and all other phenomena like the lifting of the arm, the movement of your fingers, hand and leg, and your entire body, the turning, bending, stretching and the sensation between your entire or physical body as well. They will all be felt by your silent mind, clear awareness within. Just continue to be mindful and don't try to know anything, because the awakening or the true understanding will arise by itself when you are silently aware of the phenomena without any reaction or judgment via your direct speech to the silent mind. Then we have the last part. Meditation resources to help you on your journey after the retreat. According to Virgil, many yogis are unable to continue their cultivation after the retreat, and they always complain that in the working environment, working career life, or the householder's one, it is very difficult to cultivate because environment is just not conducive, and it is so difficult to maintain the silent mind, constant awareness and mindfulness to live life during that time. They realize that after a short while, maybe a few days later, they are back to their old habit of reacting, getting angry, unhappy, fearful, and heedless feeling again because of society's competitiveness and aggressiveness. Gratia said, opportunity to continue your cultivation in daily life are possible, and can be done if one is sincere, diligent, and serious about emerging from the shackles of suffering. The daily mindfulness that Brahmacharya taught us, if done with understanding, can be developed to allow one to cultivate a stable daily life, leading to the peace of the household life. Because Virgil has done it before, 20 plus years ago. According to Virgil, the world is not a quiet place, even when civilization is left behind. Distraction and problems created by the deluded mind, via the mental projection anywhere, can arise anywhere, because the world is the world, and living being is just the way we are. So without wisdom, all phenomena created by the mind will be dropped dead. Distraction and problem created by the deluded mind via our mental projection and worry can arise anywhere, because the world is the world and everything is just the way it is. So without wisdom, all phenomena created by the mind will be grasped, and they will intrude into your mind and cause you suffering, and then there will be no more peace. But silence is within us. So if we can develop the wisdom via the direction on Yanana, the start of the wisdom, then we can see things as they are and accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace in all things. Then liberation from suffering is born. All this and all this are so beautiful. My retreat experience has taken my spiritual journey deep enough to pull me through the long drive home, to get me and my family started on the whole practice. I plan to diligently and sincerely keep cultivating until I realize that I am mine, even if I have to settle down. Even if I have to settle for just a slightly cleaner and wiser mind, by an autonomous So I hope with this you will understand what you need to understand, and this will motivate you to actually bring forth the faith, the sadhana, and the right effort to cultivate you. So if you want to refresh yourself, you can take out the notes that you are free and read it.